Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, May 31st, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe National Army denies any links with the abduction of political activist Itai Dzamara as police summon his brother for questioning.
Five opposition parties form a coalition in an attempt to beat President Mugabe's ZANU-PF party in the 2018 general elections.
The parties are Mavambokusi Ledon, led by Simba Makoni, Professor Walsh Mencube's Movement for Democratic Change Formation, Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe, led by Elton Mango.
As Zimbabwean has made it into the Forbes Africa magazine's under 30 distinguished young entrepreneurs in Africa.
This gentleman, clearly, I mean, he grew up in hard times in Zimbabwe. The country was collapsing, and one day they had a debate at school about these issues, and he decided then to change his life. He said he was going to try to start a business to solve the unemployment problems.
And a pardoned Zimbabwean female prisoner is now into the tongue-twisting profession, poetry.
From prison, I managed to beat over 2,300 people, and I won various items.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe National Army has denied any involvement in the disappearance of political activist Itai Dzamara, leader of Occupy Africa Unity Square, which wants President Robert Mugabe to step down for allegedly failing to properly run Zimbabwe. Reacting to allegations by Itai's brother, Dr. Patson Dzamara, that the Army's intelligence unit was involved in Itai's abduction 15 months ago, Army spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Alpheus Makotore said these were a figment of his imagination. Lieutenant Colonel Makotere said the National Army's intelligence unit does not take orders from any political party, and as a result, Dzamara is only seeking some media attention in claiming that they were instructed by the ruling ZANU-PF party to allegedly abduct Itai.
Dzamara claimed yesterday that his family has obtained photographs of his brother in detention and names of the people linked to his abduction. One of the pictures released by his family shows a person sitting in a dark place with his or her hands tied to the back and head covered in what looks like a bandage. Itai's wife, Shefra, says the person in the picture is Itai Dzamara.
Meanwhile, detectives from the Law and Order section have asked Dr. Dzamara to visit their offices in connection with claims that the family has information about Itai's abductors. Charles Kwaramba, who is Zamara's lawyer, tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that he will only be able to take him to the police tomorrow morning since he was too busy today.
Mr. Dzamara called me and informed me that the police wanted to interview him. I wasn't available because I've spent the whole day in court seeing other cases. But in the afternoon, I also communicated with the police. They called me. They asked that if I could attend because Mr. Dzamara wanted me to be present during the interview. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it this afternoon. So in my discussion with the police, we have agreed that we will attend tomorrow morning and the interview will be carried out.
Is he willing to cooperate with the police?
Yes, he has always been willing to cooperate with the police. He likes everything that will see a result come out in respect of his missing brother. So he has no reason whatsoever to withhold any information from the police or to avoid interacting with the police. He has always been cooperating. We've gone to the police together many times before, even in times that have not been reported. So we have actually been interacting with the police regarding the matter. He will do everything in his power to make sure that something is done about his missing brother, including going public about any information that he might have.
That was Charles Kwaramba, Patson Zamara's lawyer, on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Five opposition parties formed a coalition today that will challenge President Robert Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party in the 2018 general elections. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The parties are Mavambokusi Ledon, led by Simba Makoni, Professor Walsh Mencube's Movement for Democratic Change Formation, Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe, led by Elton Mangoma, Democratic Assembly for Restoration and Empowerment, and Zimbabweans United for Democracy. Tendai Biti's People's Democratic Party and ZAPU, led by former ZIPRA Supremo Dumiso Dabengwa, say they still need to consult their members before joining the coalition. The parties say other opposition groups like Morgan Tsvangirai's MDCT and former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's Zimbabwe People First are also keen to join the coalition. Zunde leader Gilbert Dzikiti, who was appointed the first chairman of the coalition, called the Coalition of Democrats, or CORD, said the coming together of the five political parties was an important milestone in the struggle for democracy in Zimbabwe.
CORD is the answer to a better Zimbabwe. CORD has made a commitment to work with civil society, churches, and other stakeholders to craft and agree on a Zimbabwe that works for all of us. As CORD, we realize the need for leaders to be servants of the people.
Nguve noted that the parties that signed the agreement are keeping their doors open for other political parties to join the coalition.
We have committed ourselves to talk with all those who say they are opposed to the current government, and we have said, let us come together, whether you are MDCT, whether you are People First, or by whatever description you are called. Anyone who will not be with us by the time we get to 2018 will be because they have excluded themselves, not because we have excluded them.
These sentiments were echoed by MKD leader Simba Makoni, who contested as an independent presidential candidate in 2008.
We are saying today we are making a commitment to work together. That is the important message. The past is important in learning what not to do and how not to do good things.
Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti, who now leads the People's Democratic Party and attended the signing ceremony, said his political formation would join the coalition once he gets the nod from his party's executive committee.
We haven't had our general council, so we are going to go to the general council in the next few weeks and then we'll come. But we've been part of the negotiating process.
ZAPU spokesperson Mjobiza Nuku said his party was waiting for direction from its Congress set for August this year.
The party leadership does not have the mandate to sign the agreement at this point. The party's National People's Council and legal advisors have cautioned the National Executive Committee that such a major commitment is better taken by the ZAPU Congress, which is, in any case, due before the end of August 2016.
Tsvangirai's MDCT says it was not invited for the signing ceremony. However, the main opposition party spokesperson, Obet Gutu, said the MDCT was willing to work with all pro-democracy parties and groups in a grand coalition that would challenge ZANU-PF's rule come 2018.
What I can just advise listeners for now is that as the MDC, our party leader, Dr. Morgan Tsvangirai, is actually the one who is leading us in the process or the processes around coalition talks with other political parties.
Rugare Gumbo, interim spokesperson of the newly formed Zimbabwe People First Party, led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, told Studio 7 by phone that his party was also not consulted regarding the formation of the coalition.
Well, look, we are not part of them, but we don't deny other people making alliances or coalitions.
Mangoma said the leaders of the parties in the coalition are expected to meet in the run-up to the 2018 national elections to select their presidential candidate.
One of the important things that CORD brings is that we should be able to work together, and particularly on fielding one candidate for each electoral post.
Sources close to the coalition negotiations said the five parties rushed to announce the formation of the coalition so that they would have negotiating power when it comes to fielding candidates. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the host for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us as we discuss teenage pregnancy, as the recent Zimbabwe Demographic Health Survey shows 1 in 10 adolescent girls giving birth each year.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Remember Nkosana Mazibisa? He's the budding entrepreneur from Bulawayo that we featured on Studio 7 2 weeks ago after he won a ticket to the coveted Mandela Washington Fellowship among 60 other uniquely promising young Zimbabweans this year. Now Mazibisa has made yet another stride to the top by making it into the Forbes Africa magazine's under 30 distinguished young entrepreneurs from across Africa. Mazibisa is founder of Mazibisa Inc. and a food company called Swad, A Taste of India. He is being featured in the Forbes magazine issue coming out tomorrow together with 30 other promising young entrepreneurs from countries like South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, and several others. Forbes Africa managing editor Chris Bishop tells Studio 7 reporter Ntungameli Nkomo the chosen 30, including Mazibisa, are some of the finest young entrepreneurs there is on the African continent.
Some of them will be on the cover of Forbes Africa in 10, maybe 20 years' time. And what we wanted to do, we wanted to catch them when they were young and in the first flush of youth as entrepreneurs. And we wanted to show exactly to the rest of the continent what we could do, because Forbes Africa believes that the state coffers on this continent can no longer afford for, to provide the jobs and to provide the wealth that people need, an increasingly growing youthful population needs. And we think that entrepreneurs are the people who are going to create the wealth and the jobs. So that was a particular interest.
Looking at this list as an anecdote, where would you say the African continent is headed in terms of job creation, entrepreneurship, and economic growth?
A lot of people are turning over close to $1 million a year. Many of them are already employing scores of people in their businesses. For instance, Momar Mazkal of Gambia, he's got 140 employees, 120 which are women. He turned over $1.6 million in 2015. Here's a guy who started up a clothing brand, Malika Clothing. His father was a diplomat. Fine, he wanted to follow his father, turned it away, started making his own clothes, and he's made a fortune and made his own way, and he's created 140 jobs for Africans.
You also have our own Nkosana Mazibisa from Zimbabwe, Bulawayo, on this list. What exactly did you see in him?
Well, again, this is a lot of context here. We've written quite a bit of stuff on Bulawayo and how it used to be known as the city that exudes smoke and how it's struggling now. And this gentleman came out as part of that story. He grew up in hard times in Zimbabwe. The country was collapsing, and one day they had a debate at school about these issues, and he decided then to change his life. He said he was going to try to start a business to solve the unemployment problems and to revive the industries. And he founded a food retail brand, Swad, The Taste of India, and Mazibisa Inc., a brand strategy consultancy firm in Bulawayo. Now, this guy here is stuck in his hometown. He's there building business. He's there building himself as an entrepreneur. He's there creating jobs for people.
That was Forbes Africa editor.